What is the idea of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? Why is it such a huge, massive centerpiece in Judaism?
Yetzias Mitzrayim?
Yeah. Is it?
It was our first redemption.
Okay, so it's like God did us a big favor.
How much we owe?
Is that it? So the Chavis of Lava says, like, basically, like, we owe everything to God because He took us out of Mitzrayim. Which might be true, but is that the whole point of Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim?
We weren't deserving of it. We were taken out of Mitzrayim because we were at the lowest point. And as I've learned, Mashiach will come in two ways. Either Yidden will be at the highest point, or we'll be at the lowest point. And in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we were at the lowest point. Which means at the lowest point, usually what a human would do, goodbye. Don't deal with me.
I've had enough of you.
Exactly, I've had enough of you. Go away. If I don't do my job at work, my boss says, goodbye.
Right.
Doesn't say, let me bring you out.
Right.
Let me help you out. Let me bring you up. In this case, it's completely different. We were at the lowest point at the time of when a boss would say, goodbye, Hashem said, hello. On the other hand,
the problem is, but this was all planned. God told Avram, your kids are going to be slaves for 400 years. They didn't make it to the 400 because they would have toasted. But God promised Avram, they'll be slaves and I'll take them out. It wasn't like God, you know, came and like did us a big favor and took us, like, I mean, he said he'll put us in and he said he'll take us out. So you're right, you know, we were really terrible there and he took us out early and it was, you know, but there obviously must be a lot more to Yetzias Mitzrayim, a bigger purpose that it served than just God came in and saved the day. Because this was planned. He put us in there in the first place. So it just wasn't like, oh, this accident happened and he saved us and we owe everything to him. This was planned. He told Avram.
Well, we obviously needed it.
They're going to go out wealthy. This was all pre-planned. Right? The 400 years was adjusted. Because it was so severe, the avodah, the slavery was so severe, God counted all the years of exile, starting already from Yitzchak and Yaakov, as part of the 400. Whereas if the slavery would have been on a lighter form, it would have been a full 400 in Mitzrayim. But it was all planned. It was all planned. This wasn't, that's the thing, this wasn't just some unfortunate situation that Hashem saved us from. He put us in, and He said, I'll take us out, and He took us out.
Like
Bechira,
Hashem knows what's going to happen, but still.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but obviously there was a purpose to going in and coming out, not just, We got into a mess and Hashem took us out. No, Hashem put us in the mess for a reason. And then took us out.
Because we,
as a test, to see where our true holdings lie.
So did we fail?
Did we fail?
We came to 49.
Apparently we did. If we were at the lowest
point. So the question is, so did Mitzrayim serve its purpose?
Obviously.
What was its purpose? Did it serve its purpose?
Teach us obviously something through the generations.
Right, right.
Question
right,
is what?
And it's a centerpiece. It is the centerpiece of so many mitzvahs. Shabbos, Zechut Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Tefillin Zechut Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Karban Pesach, Chametz, Sukkot. You name it, it's Zechut Tzitzis Mitzrayim. It's the theme behind more mitzvahs than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it such an, you know, such a focus? That's the question. I figure that's a little more general than Chametz and Matzah. That's more specific. Deal with that right before dealing with Chametz and Matzah next week. What's the big point of this? Yes, I'm sorry. So when Hashem told Avraham Avinu, don't worry, you're gonna have kids. Don't worry, you're gonna have kids, right? And not only will you have kids, they're going to fill the earth. They're going to get the promised land, best land of the world, Eretz Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu said, Hashem, how do I know that we'll end up inheriting the land? Sounds like He was doubting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? How do I know? God said so. What do you mean, how do I know? Right? So Hashem says, "Kali eglon mishuleshes, ve'iz mishuleshes, ve'ayil mishulash." And the Gemara Megillah says, "Did Megillah know?" Gemara Megillah says that Hashem was being meramis to him that in the schus of karbonis, that'll work everything out. What does that mean? He wasn't doubting Hashem's promise. But what he was saying was, "How do I know that we won't lose it for ourselves? Maybe my kids will sin." And they won't deserve it anymore. And that's why they won't get it. Not due to God will keep his promise. But maybe my kids will be that bad that they'll deserve to lose it. And that Hashem responds, don't worry, there'll be the schus of kabbonis. I was going to be with the zoma kabbonis. Don't worry, there'll be tefillah b'makom kabbonis. Davening instead of kabbonis. And then Hashem says, and by the way, you're going to end up in Mitzrayim. 400 years. So the Rishayim say that that was a response to his question. That yes, to a certain extent, even Avram's question of perhaps we'll lose our right to inherit the land through sin, that also was doubting. God says they're going to get it. They're going to get it. Don't ask questions.
So Mitzrayim was a punishment to Avram?
Right. And the question is, as we all know, punishments are not just a way of giving somebody patch. Right? There's a science behind the punishment to correct the problem. Okay? So, from Avram's question, Bamo Eda, how do I know we'll get the land? It wasn't just down, how do I know you'll keep your promise? Avram, God will keep his question was, how do I know we'll get the land even if we're terrible? Even if my kids are horrible and they're not going to deserve it, how do I know we're going to get it? And still, that was also still lacking in his betachon. And for that, they went to Mitzrayim. So how is Mitzrayim the solution? Where's the fix the problem? You're telling me it's a bigger patch, but. God doesn't just give a punishment. Like last week, we discussed a little how Yisurim on the chaper, right? There's a mechanics. There's a science to it. There's a science. Yisurim take away the life that you got out of sin, right? And kills you a little. It makes you feel dead. It gets rid of life. There's a mechanics. It's not just, you know, just like there's biology and chemistry and microbiology. Everything in the world has a real good system how it works. And so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he says Bamo Eda, God's response, there was a system to it. It wasn't just, oh, well, for you to say that, 400 years for you. 25 lifetimes in jail. It wasn't just a big patch. There was something about Mitzrayim that was custom designed to fix up this issue. So there's a lot of discussions by Moshe Rabbeinu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu the purpose of everything's that's going to be happening in Yitzhias Mitzrayim. Right? L'man tesaper b'oznei bincha and yeidu l'dar yisaychem, and a lot of expressions. When Moshe Rabbeinu first comes to Paroi, Paroi says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma b'kerle. He went through his encyclopedia of gods, of deities, and powers in the world. And he said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kerli. Who's God that I should listen to?
Who's God of what?
That I should listen to him. Mm-hmm. He didn't say who's God. He's heard of him. He was in an encyclopedia. But he didn't see this Hashem, the Shem Hashem that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Adai, that name. He didn't find it to be an involved party in the world. The wind god, the river god, you know, the Nile is very important in Mitzrayim, and the cow gods, and the sun gods. They were powers involved with the world. But this God that created the world a few thousand years before, he's not involved. He didn't say, Mi Hashem. He said, Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma B'Kaylai. I'll listen to the sun if the sun sends me a message, because he's going to burn my crops if I don't do what he wants. Yeah, the Nile, if I don't listen to what the Nile's got to say, of course, Pyro claimed that he was the one that made the Nile, right? He was the god of all gods. But the Nile, if you don't do what the Nile power wants, he's going to flood you or he's going to cause a drought. He's very involved. He's an involved party. But Ado Hashem's name, him, he created the world. And he said goodbye. He's not here anymore. He let the world run. He left it up to all these little guys, you know, the wind god and the sun god. He left it up to the little guys to run the place for him. He's gone on vacation. Mi Hashem, not who's God, but Mi Hashem Hashem Bekola. There's no involvement with him anymore. Why should I listen to what he says? Now he comes back on the door and starts telling me I run the business. We've been running it pretty smooth without him all these years. That was tough.
How
come
Moshe?
Huh?
Moshe
said. What do you mean? Moshe didn't say that. Pari said that.
Oh, Pari.
Moshe said, God told me that you should send the Jews out. He said, who's Hashem? Hashem Hashem Abakaylai. He said, he felt the lesson. Mi Hashem Hashem Eshma Bekola L'Shalach as Yisrael to send with the Jews. Lo Yodati Es Hashem. I don't know God. V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Hashalach. What's this repetition? I don't know God. He just said, who is God that I should listen to send out my slaves? I don't know God. Shkoyach. He just said, like, what's that supposed to be?
Know something, but not take it.
And he was saying, I don't know. So, already you could see perhaps a little link over here between Avram's Bama Eida, how do I know? And Paro says, Lo Yadati, I don't know. And many times throughout Hashem's discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem keeps on saying, Laman Yedu, that they will know. Atem Yadatem, you will know.
He's running the world.
The question is, God's plugging in that knowledge that Avraham Avinu was missing. That knowledge, that awareness, that real, real, real assured sense, God's here, he's the boss, and he runs everything, which of course Avraham had. But there was something missing, and that's being fixed up here. There's a lot of knowledge going on over here.
Why 400 years? In the span of 400 years, many people come and go. So during that span of 400 years, a lot of people never got that plugged in knowledge that we obviously have now, because we're 2,000, 3,000, whatever, how many so on years later. But during those 400, the people who were there during Yetzirat Mitzrayim, obviously, I don't even mean any, every Jew has every Jew who learns a little bit has the same question. Why would they even sin in the Midbar? But it's a different subject altogether. They know that Hashem is there. They saw the presence of Hashem. Everybody before the Makos, between the start of the Midbar and before the Makos,
good,
doesn't
we're
see
get
Hashem
to
there.
Beautiful, we're going to get to that. Okay? We're going to get to that. So it's not just the Yetziah, it's the 400 years of slavery that Hashem told Avraham Avinu. Right? Hashem just told Avraham Avinu, I'll put your kids in a situation where they're going to see fireworks. Oh boy. And then they'll know.
No,
that didn't work. Hashem didn't say that. Hashem said, I'm going to give them 400 years of slavery. Hashem didn't say, I'm going to give them fireworks.
400 years is a little bit long.
Forget the length. Forget the length. But the question is, what purpose did the slavery serve? All of that slavery, part of the slavery, who cares? If the knowledge was just coming about through that spectacular fireworks display that God did, and one knock after another, you'd see a kriyas yam, whoa! So then, like, who needed all the slavery and everything? That's a good question. Another question is,
you also need to be able to see the wrath of God in order to appreciate God. As we said before, as we stated, what was it, 2 weeks ago, you gain a love of God through fear of God at the same time. Through fear of God, you can't.
The Rambam says the reverse. I tell you, the Rambam says the reverse. He starts with love and he gets to fear.
I think it goes the other way. Personally, myself, it's gone the other way. It started off with a fear.
He's talking about a different year. He's talking about a different year. You're talking about year of fear, like from doing something wrong and getting punished.
Exactly.
That's the first base. That's
yeah,
the first
that,
base.
But then
he's not talking about that. He's talking about an awe.
You see, person.
An awe.
That's one
of
thing.
The greatness of God. It's a different year.
I mean, for me personally, I've seen through a fear of God, a fear of
simple fear, right?
I've grown a love for God because of the fact that I don't do that part to get the retribution. I do the part that I'm not supposed that I'm supposed to do, and I get rewarded.
But the point over here wasn't fear.
But
the question over here wasn't
thing,
fear. The question was knowledge. Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik.
The reason why, but it's still, even Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik. The rest of the generation has to see something still. Avraham Avinu
no, it was only because right no, it was only because he said b'ma'eda. It was his lack of emuna that God realized, 1 second, we're going to have to plant something into this nation that's still missing. Avraham Avinu is missing something, we're going to have to plant into his, into the DNA of the Jews.
It's the same. So, however,
I'm saying, but that's what was missing, not Yira. It wasn't missing Yira, he was missing Yediyah, knowledge. The question is, what does that mean? But he wasn't missing Yira. He didn't sin.
He
didn't do something wrong. It's fear,
Hashem.
Lack
he
of fear.
Was there. He
right.
Knew
so that's the question.
Yeah,
what does it mean?
He knew
Yediyah.
Hashem was there.
So what does it mean in Bamoeda?
But he didn't know of Hashem's work. I mean,
so what, where was that lacking?
So what was he? He was lacking the knowledge of what Hashem
of what?
Would do in the knowledge of the future.
But he didn't believe it. His problem was he thought the Jews would ruin it for themselves.
Ideas and experience.
That was his problem. He thought the Jews would ruin it for themselves. That was his problem.
The issue is that if if you say one thing to somebody, you can always ruin it. As we know with humans, for instance, as I work with human care, and I promised something to the kid that I work with, he did what he was supposed to do, I just didn't deliver yet, and then I took it away the other night because he didn't do his homework.
Right.
That's natural. That's the way it is.
Right.
And Avraham Avinu had the same fear.
Right.
But Hashem is not human.
Right.
He didn't know that if we sin, if we go the other way, will Hashem take it away? That's one thing he didn't know. And also, this instills through the generations that Hashem says something, he'll do something. It's the end of it.
Well, that was clear. That was clear, Tavron. That did not need any correction. What needed correction was that even if we fail,
but still,
it'll still carry through.
It.
Right.
Exactly, that's what
right.
I'm saying.
Right.
And that pushes through the rest of the generations the same thing.
100%.
And that's not human nature, either.
That's against human nature.
Yeah.
It's completely against human nature. I mean, if I come up to you and I give you, for instance, I go ahead and I give you $2,000, you're going to love me. Then I come out, and then you go outside and you see me smashing up your brand new Mercedes with a baseball bat, you're going to hate me. And the $2,000 don't mean nothing now.
All right, let's get back. So what exactly was missing in the Bamoeda, and how, through the slavery, was it being fixed? Another question was...
Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
It's fine, it's fine.
Good night.
Good night.
Another interesting point is that even by Kriyas Yamsif, which was the greatest miracle of all, ever, that's it, takes the cake, right? Takes the cake. Even by Kriyas Yamsif, it's interesting that the Pasuk points out that the whole night there were very fierce winds blowing. Huge, you know, desert winds blowing. And then there's Kriyas Yamsif. And the Ramban points out why. Because even when God performs a miracle, He does it and he tries to make it seem as natural as can be. It's even though Kriyas Yamsuf Kriyas Yamsuf was an open miracle. That's what it was designed for. So then, like, then drop the wind business. You know, when you're trying to hide yourself, God, you'll make a miracle in a hidden form. But this is not when God's trying to hide himself. This is where God's saying, signs and miracles, I'm here. Well, let's make some winds. Why? This leads us to a very similar answer, would be similar to a question that everybody asks, and the Saporna Rishon deals with it. He says that what's pshat that God took away that made Paro so stubborn? Let me whack him up for good. Make him stubborn. And phew, we'll give the makas like crazy, right? That's basically what the psukim say. So the answer the Saporna says is as follows. Unbelievable, beautiful answer. He says God's making Paro stubborn was not taking away his freedom of choice. He was giving him choice. God does not want even a guy to be doomed. He even wants a guy, Paro, to do tshuva and to recognize his existence and come to love God. Paro wasn't getting that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to have to, you know, send him a message. What wasn't Paro getting? What we mentioned before, he wasn't getting that God's involved in the world. He wasn't getting that God is, he looks around, there's nature. There's the sun, there's the river, there's fire, there's water, there's winds, there's... And one of the psukim where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe to tell Paro, he says, Ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz, I'm Hashem in the midst of the land. I'm involved. I'm down to the last microbe. I'm there! It's interesting to note that where was the culmination of that? Makkas B'chayis. All of the makkas involved nature. God didn't just come out and boom! Everybody's dead, boom, Jews, out of Messiah, tick-tock. No. He would create blood, and frogs, and lice, and animals,
every other mafia.
And hail. They all had some real cool stuff to it. Nothing affected the Jews, and it only affected the guy. There was a lot of special, you know, coordination involved. But everything involved nature. Everything involved, it wasn't just like, you know, God, come out there, smite them, and you know, goodbye. No. Nature got involved. All of nature got involved. Every part of nature. The animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, right? Plain and simple, dead inanimate objects. Water. Turned into blood. Right? He involved all of nature in getting the message to Paro, look, I'm involved. What's the sign of God's involvement? Hashgacha pratis. I see the difference between a yid and a guy. You'll have wild animals all over the place. They won't approach a Jew. You'll have blood. They won't affect a Jew. You'll have tzardeh. Everything. That shows an involvement. To the extent that even if you were to say that nature brought the animals, which was possible to deny and say, it was possible, right? When the Arba came, there was a great clouds and winds and all that. I'm sure, just as the Ramban says by Kriyas Yamsuf, God used some technique to make it seem somewhat possible to have happened in nature. The same thing happened by every Makkah. Somehow there was some possible way to explain how it happened. But there's no way to explain why it only happened to a guy, not to a Jew. Nature doesn't pick its victims. Mm-hmm. That's all. Goshen was light. Mitzrayim was dark. And wherever a Jew walked, light followed him. He had light in the midst of the darkness of the Goshen. You want to know something? If there's going to be darkness, there'll be darkness. Crazy darkness. We don't understand it. Crazy darkness. The scientists are working on an explanation. They're coming with 10 theories. Greater Gewaltig. But hey, why could the Jews see?
That one is very... okay. Choshech doesn't sit straight with me for one reason.
Oh, you don't get it.
Besides,
why can't you move?
No, it's just that if I can't see, how can I see that you have light?
They didn't. But you heard the Jew moving around.
You heard
and looking through around. Things. Yeah.
That doesn't
you didn't
mean,
see the Jew.
And blind man still walks.
Huh? No, but he was licking. He wasn't bumping in. He wasn't fumbling around. Besides the fact they were stuck. They couldn't move and the Jews were moving.
They don't know for sure that the Jews weren't fumbling around. They can't see him. How
you could hear.
You don't see.
You hear. You hear. Walk right in. Oh, no. Oh, that's the apple juice. No, I want the orange juice. Yeah, that's not a kasha at all. But anyway, yeah, but every maka could have somehow been explained if you really wanted to be obstinate to see that came from nature. Just as God made that available in Kriyas Yamsa. Scientists work on it, possibly, maybe, and there. This quirk of nature, a twist of the axis of the earth and the magnetic fields. Yeah, you come up with something, you'll find something.
I've seen them come up with something.
Yeah, they got right. That's not a problem. This is, one second. The issue was, why the guy and not the it? And Makas Bechiris was the culmination of that. I am God. That knows the difference between, yes, the microbiology and the zera of a man when he's involved with a woman, which Mitzrayim Shitufei Zima, Mitzrayim was the most immodest and loose place in the world when it comes to this. And God knew, of course he knew, but it became clear that God was involved and aware of the lowliest and the lowliest and the lowliest of acts to define every single person who their son was and who was the firstborn and who was not the firstborn. Every single person. In the lowliest of acts. Huh?
Except the firstborn daughter?
There's a few midrashim about it. Every first... was the first of the mother, the first
why
of
the
father,
firstborn
the first of the mother with that father. All first. But one thing became obvious, that even in the lowliest and the lowliest and the privatest and the, you're getting into the DNAs and everything. God there. Ashkacha brought this. In the depths of that dirty earth that the Mitzrayim thought God wouldn't want to be involved with anymore. God. That's what he was bringing out through all the makas. So Zog is supporting her. Go. What are you going to do? Where?
Right there.
Huh?
Right there.
How are you going to get there?
I'll get Miranda.
Zog the Sephorna. Zog the Sephorna. Hashem's purpose over here was to teach Paroi and Mitzrayim about his awareness, his existence, and his involvement in the world.
Give a chance.
And they weren't getting the message. The problem is, if God brings out a miracle, they'd be forced into admitting God's existence. And in that way, they don't have a tshuva. As we discussed once before, we can only appreciate God's closeness if we create it for ourselves. We can only appreciate the reward of being close to God, of Olam Haba, if we create that for ourselves. If we're forced into it, because every time a Rasha eats something without a bracha, boom, he chokes on it, we don't get much credit for making brachas. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did an unbelievable thing. He made miracles, which are a pretty direct message. But he gave them the stubbornness of heart to still be able to say, no, maybe it was really. And that would put everything back into the balance with the message. The message is there, but I'm supplying you with an extra dose of stubbornness to bring up the balance again to equal. And now you could make your own decision to see God in the message, or you could follow your stubbornness.
But obviously...
And that was the point of all the Makis, the supporter, and that's why God made Pari stubborn. Not to take away his freedom of choice. Others learned, Hashem took it away. But the supporter learns that this was a way of God offering him Bechira. I want to send you a message. I'm here. Yes, I am involved in the world. Don't you see? But I can't make it that obvious because then he's not acquiring his closeness to God on his own. He's not going to have to make any mental decision on his own. But if I supply him with a healthy dose of stubbornness like many scientists have nowadays, oh boy, very stubborn. You see the Chachma Sabriya evolution. Are you crazy? From a couple of pieces of dust comes out to the world. A mishap, an accident. Are you nuts? Right? But if you really set in your path that you don't want to involve a higher being, you know, to be accountable for your actions, you can explain away anything. So God gave Pharaoh extra stubbornness to give him the capabilities of explaining things away. So that was the purpose of all of the Makkas. And this served the purpose for the Bnei Yisrael as well. The slavery in Mitzrayim is an interesting thing. The Sephorna says is the Tzaddik HaKayin says as follows. Every Golos has its own thing. Every Golos has its own thing. Every nation has its own character that has, they may have a certain amount of Kedusha to it and a certain amount of Tumah to it. He says with Paras, with Achashverosh, he says the Maila of Persia was they were Tzanua. They had sleeves. And that little amount of Kedusha that they had, Esther, being a great Tzanua that she was, by conquering her Midah of Tzanias for the purposes of Klal Yisrael, she was able to get, I mean, this is all a Pikabola, I don't understand how it works, she was able to get that Kedusha that of Tzanias from them by her being a Papritzis, somewhat, for the sake of Klal Yisrael.
I give up.
Against her own nature. Yeah? She was able to get that Kedusha of Tzniz. And that was the destruction of Persia. But every nation has its own character. And Jews being exiled in that nation have a challenge because of that character. And we also have an opportunity to grow from that character. Mitzrayim was business. It was the land of magic. That's what it was. The land of magic, the land of the imagination. So Tzaddik HaKayin says, us going into Mitzrayim, I don't understand exactly how this works, but when Avraham Avinu said, how do I know? There was a certain level of lack of reality. He was seeing the world as this tiny, 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 tiny level being a little more real than God's word. God said, you'll inherit. But we may mess up. God said, you'll inherit. But we may mess up. In a tiny, tiny level, what he was saying was, we may be controlling the world a little more than you. Kivayachal. We might mess up on the world. We may not be deserving of your promise. And then we're not going to get the land. On a certain level, he was being a backseat driver. One second, you're going to miss the light. You know, I don't want to talk to you too much in the car because I'm scared you're going to miss the exit. Leave the driver alone. The driver knows the exit. You don't want to talk. You might mess up the driver. You're not messing up the driver. The driver knows what he's doing. The driver said that the Jews are going to exit and get into Eretz Yisrael. They're going to get there. You're not going to mess up anything for the driver. When there's a slight level of thinking, oh, I might mess up on the driver. I might cause the driver to miss the exit. Or the driver may want to miss the exit because I'm going to annoy him so much. Whatever that is, to a certain extent, a slight level of doubting the reality of the professionalism of the driver. Don't be a backseat driver. Leave the driver alone.
He was thinking that B'nai Yisrael would have a way to take away...
To mess up?
By mess up, though, is to think that we would have control over...
It's not really control. It's the way God controls the world. God usually says, you do bad, you get bad. You do good, you get good, right? So he was saying, I know you promised, but, you know, the way you run the world is you basically allow us to mess up, right? So we might mess up. But God made a promise, period. But that, and not going to happen. God, Baderach Klal, that's how he works. Unless he makes Avtach, it's brought down. A good promise is impossible to change. And a bad thing, a curse that Hashem puts upon Klal Yisrael, we could change. We could do tshuva. But any Navi that prophesied something good upon the Jews, it was impossible to break that. God ain't going to promise it unless it's going to happen. Period. With nothing I could change it. Even though, yes, Midas Hadin, you know, would say that we don't deserve it anymore. Yes, God promised it. You know. No. If God says something good's going to happen, it's going to happen. God says something bad's going to happen, He allows us a backdoor. So Avraham Avinu at that time was a little concerned. I know you made a promise, but we may mess up. So in that regard, to a certain extent, he was attributing a little too much reality to our own actions, to our own messing up of things, and a drop less kivayachal professionalism, or a drop less of a real, true understanding that nothing can change God's mind.
Other questions, a little off the topic, but when Hashem said that we're going to have Eretz Yisrael, right? Does he mean that, when he said to Abraham, did he mean that we're going to have Eretz Yisrael for a short period of time, then lose it?
No. Inheritance means it's ours.
Means it's ours.
Ours. We got it.
It's ours. So, does the Golus of Mitzrayim still run until today? Because as of right now, we don't really have it.
It's ours.
God said if we sin, we get kicked out.
It's our homeland. That's true.
It's our homeland. But when we go there, and we're Jews, and we go there, the land prospers. When we're off the land, the land fails. It's a crazy land. It's a crazy place. Before we went there, and the Canaanim were there, everybody was still there, it was a major successful land. We saw, right? The Meraglim came back with these grapes, you know, like, whoa. Right? Organic, like, wow. On steroids. Right? And history has shown, when we moved off the land, any other nation that tried working the land,
it's a desert. A desolate wasteland.
Yeah.
The best in Mitzrayim. And when we moved back in,
it's successful. It was designed for us. But I'm sure there was a lot more to that promise, more than just, you know, it's our whole land. Kedusha, I mean, all the Gedolim, all the biggest tzaddikim wanted to go there. Kabbalah, everything. Yeah, it's big stuff. I'm not going into why and what, the relationship between us and the land. We're just discussing Avraham Avinu's Bamoida that we're going to get it.
Yeah, and another question that I had was, from what I learned, the Torah was made in the form that it is now. I mean, not physical form, but what's written in the Torah was written before the creation of the world. So all that, how can Hashem say that this was because of what Avraham asked when Avraham never asked it yet?
Before the creation of the world, the Torah was not split into words. It was one string of letters. So in other
but
words,
in those string of letters,
instead of Bereshis Bara, let's say, you could have read it Bar, Eish, Yas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would have entirely a whole different meaning than in the beginning.
So it was a whole one long string of words.
Right.
Of letters.
Of letters.
Which
and it's with an infinitus. It was closed. It was a complete circle of letters. There was no way to define beginning and words. So therefore, its meaning didn't have any practical application to a physical world, because there was no physical meaning to it. It was all Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which now we have, now in the form we have the Torah split into words, we have the Shemos of Hashem,
mm-hmm.
right? As Rosh HaTevis, and as skipping letters, and as backwards, and as Sofei Tevos. You know what these words mean, what I'm saying? The phrases? Rosh HaTevis are, you have a string of words, and the first letter of each word spells the name of God. Sometimes you'll have the last letters of each word. Sometimes you'll have just skip a letter, and it's names of God, or backwards, or encoded. We look at it now as being encoded. Encoded in a very simple statement of, whatever. Yeah, in the story, encoded is Shemos of Hashem. Really, it was the other way around. It's Shemos of Hashem, and now it's broken up into a story.
So it was really a Shemos of Hashem.
It was one string of letters, which represents major, whatever, spirituals. Yeah, it would have no practical meaning to us. There was nothing about Mitzrayim. Because it wasn't Mitzrayim, it was Matz, Rei, Meh, whatever.
But
you get what I'm saying?
There was nothing about Mitzrayim in the form that we know of it now.
Right.
In the storage form that we know now, with what happened with Avraham and Yitzchak and everybody.
Right.
Not, was null and void at the time.
Right.
And it was brought down to us like this at Har Sinai.
Or in Har Sinai, I'd assume so. Mm-hmm. I mean, before Hasid, already certain mitzvahs were given to us. So I don't know if maybe those parshios could be already established at that point in time. Right before Maimon HaSinai, in Mara, the first Shabbos, after Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Hashem already gave us some mitzvahs. We didn't have Matan Torah yet, but He gave us some mitzvahs. So it could be maybe those parshios were already written down. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's clear. That before the creation of the world, the Torah, that at that point in time, was had no physical, materialistic meaning to us. It was a string of letters.
I was just thinking, it's just amazing. If I did something in the computer today, if I didn't do what I did in my software today, I would not be able to picture exactly what you just said. I took a boss's logo and set it up into a string of letters in all different forms, coded back and forth, up and down,
brothers.
Turning it around as a circle, had it running around in a ball back and forth. I was like, I did this
brothers.
Today. Now when he says it, I'm like, wow, I can actually see it.
Okay, but anyway, that's what we want to say was the Bat Moed. Klal Yisrael is going into Mitzrayim, which was the land of the imagination. That was to redefine for ourselves what's knowledge and what's imagination. Going into the land of imagination can make us sink more into the imaginary world, seeing us in control and not God. Or disparity. And that recognition can give us that spring to say, whoa, this is craziness. And you have the full realization that we never had of a real knowledge of God, even beyond whatever Avraham Avinu had. So Avraham Avinu's lack of knowledge, Hashem said, you know what, I'm going to send your kids into a Disneyland. And they're going to learn a thing about special effects, fake magic, imagination, 3D, all the imaginary stuff. And it's going to offer the opportunity of taking a step back from all that and coming to a height in a level of knowledge, real, strict knowledge, without fooling for all the imaginary stuff, or they'll fail. Now, how did that happen? It's going to take years for that to develop. Years of living amongst that nation whose whole character was imagination. It's going to take years and generations of people going through that to really sort things out to come to such a level of knowledge of God. Not only that, but the working and the slavery to that nation is what's going to bring that out tremendously. How, I'm not 100% clear. The Zohar says, I don't get this, but Zohar says, I don't read Zohar, but I saw it put down. The Chaymeru Bilaveinim, they worked with mortar and bricks. Zok the Zohar, Apikabala. The Chaymer, in their work of Chaymer, in their work of cement, they came to understand what a Kal V'Chomer is. In their work with the bricks, they came to understand this type of drasha in the Torah. And in this type of work, they came to an understanding of this. All the different ways of how we come to a knowledge and understanding of Torah. Right? The different ways that Chazal extrapolate dinim and halachos and guidelines in the Torah. All of that somehow got absorbed within that whole framework of the slavery. Came through. So it's interesting, the Gemara says a person was created to do work. Adam la'amal yul. Man, it's not Chazal, it's a Mishlei. From Mishlei Ma'amal. A man was created for work. Amal. The Gemara says, what kind of toiling? Physical toiling? Nah. Toiling of speech. Oh. So like to schmooze all day? No. To toil in speech of Torah. We have a general rule that the first position of the Gemara doesn't go down the tubes. There's always something that gets adjusted in the second phase of the Gemara. But the first, not like the first thing goes down the tubes. When the Gemara said, I would think that when the Torah says we're created to toil, it meant physical labor. No, I have another pasuk that refers to speech. Oh, okay, maybe it's toiling in speech of Dvarma Taylor, a news reporter. No, it's not that, it's speech of Torah. Right? There's a purpose to work alone. Toiling, if a guy is not zeicha, to come to knowledge and avoid the imaginary world through Torah, there's another way to do it. It's much harder. Takes a lot longer. It's the roundabout way. But physical labor does that. Physical labor will somehow, on a subconscious level, it ingrains in a person logic. Logic or knowledge. It ingrains in a person the difference between imaginary and reality. And that's what 400 years of Mitzrayim could have done to the Jews. 400 years of work in Mitzrayim could have gotten the Jews to a level of knowledge of God higher than Avraham Avinu, in which they were able to see clearly the difference between imagination, a virtual reality world in which we think that everything is real. Well, everything in the world is real. No, the only true reality is God. The world is a virtual reality. It's all a picture. Maybe we'll get to that at a different time. That was the thing that I skipped. I told you we went from our first year room. I said we skipped one step. Mm-hmm. That was the thing I didn't go into. What we mean when we said. But I had a thing, but I discussed it with my chavrus. He said, I don't know if the guys are up to it. But anyway. Well, maybe we'll get to it one day. But that understanding that the reality of the world is God and all this is really virtual, we could have attained that level of knowledge of God through 400 years of work. pounds we failed. At 190, we already hit rock bottom, just about. We fell for the imaginary world of the guy. We fell into Disney full speed ahead. We were going down like crazy. Halalu over the Avodah Zarah. Halalu over the Avodah Zarah. It says that the Yamzef didn't want to split for us. The angel in charge of the Yamzef didn't want to split the Z. He says, what's the difference? I just split to these guys and dump it all on the Mitzrayim. They both serve Avodah Zarah. The Jews were low lives in Mitzrayim. They only had 3 zechusim. Pretty measly ones. They spoke Yiddish still, you know, they spoke Lashon Kodesh. The language, their names, and the way they dressed. They still looked different. They didn't totally sink in to be assimilated to the extent that they weren't recognizable as a different people. That's it.
What can we say for ourselves today?
In 3 ways, they were still identified as different people.
Can't even say the dress. Huh? We can say the Avodah Zarah part, we don't have.
Not.
But anyway, but in Mitzrayim, we sunk to a low, to such a low. God said, okay, this is not working. They didn't grab a hold of the opportunity. Again, God's not forcing anything on anyone. He's not forcing a recognition of God on Parai. He's going to allow him to choose it on his own. He's not going to force it upon us. And in our years of slavery, we didn't get the lesson. Adarabha, we sunk straight into that world of imagination. Zakta Ibishter, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's time to take the Jews out. We're going to work differently. What's the other way? Moshe Rabbeinu said, in what schus are you taking the Jews out? You know what Hashem said? Tavdu netzo Elokim alohor hazeh. You're going to come and serve God on this mountain. Zok Rashi, what does it mean? Taira. In the schus that you're going to come to Taira, that's where you're going to get the idea instead. If Mitzrayim is not going to teach you the knowledge of God, all right, we're going to have to give you the Torah. The Torah will teach you. If you're not going to get it through the years of work.
Why were we not given the option
beforehand? Huh?
Why were we not given the option beforehand?
It's interesting. The Chovetz Chavava says that the Torah was given to us due to our lack of knowledge. We, Avram Avinu, understood all of Torah on his own. Someone who has a real straight mind will understand and know all of Torah on his own. We're small people. No, all of Torah. Avram Avinu, it says he was Mekayim Eruv Tavshilin. You know what Eruv Tavshilin is? That egg that we cook up when Shabbos runs into Yom Div, and you want to be able to prepare, yeah, right? Which is a mitzvah midrabanan to do. It's a rabbinic law. It says Avram Avinu did that too. He knew it all. And the Chovetz Chavava says the Torah was given to us due to our lack of knowledge. We came to such a low. Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu brought a carbon Pesach. When he told Yaakov and Esav, bring me some meat. It was Pesach that night. He was telling them to bring a sheep for the Korban Pesach.
There was no story of Pesach.
There was no story of Pesach. That shows that there's a lot more to Korban Pesach than just the fact that we left Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
And he understood that on his own. All the Avos understood that. The Shvatim, they understood Yibum, all the things. But we sank to a big low in Mitzrayim. We came to such a low that we looked at the world like Goyim look at the world. Hey, it's a nice world. Oh, there's a God. You know, maybe he gave some commandments. How many? Maybe 7? That's basically where we came to. We came to a level in which the imagination of Mitzrayim affected us so much that we couldn't see straight anymore. To us, Gilui Arayus was a mitzvah. Like it wasn't Mitzrayim. Yeah! You have relations with other people's wives, why not? Shearing. So let's shear. Why not? It's a shearing society. To the extent the Chovetz Chavava says that we didn't understand Geneva. Stealing. All the simple stuff. He says the Torah was there. Now, it could be we understood stealing, like real stealing, but all the intricate details of what's called stealing. You know, a Jew stealing is different than a guy stealing. Guy stealing means, psh, I take something. And a Jew stealing is, if I overcharge you a drop, it's also Gneva. If I, you know, there are tons of intricate little details in Dine, in Halachos, of monetary laws, that all constitute Gneva, which nobody else in the world would have ever considered Gneva. So, I don't know what level we sank to that we didn't understand Gneva. But whatever it is, Avraham Avinu understood it all on his own. And we couldn't. We needed God to teach it to us through the Torah. We could have achieved it through 400 years of Mitzrayim. But we sank. Instead of us learning more knowledge in Mitzrayim, and seeing the disparity and the difference between an imaginary world and the reality, we sunk into the imagination. To the extent that our minds came out one big mush of cartoons. That's what happened. We came out of there like a cartoon nation. Looney Tunes. That's what came out. Hashem said, okay, there's no hope for you guys. You're down to the 49th level. If we don't get you out of here now, you're never going to learn your lesson.
Yeah, but what are they?
I'm going to have to teach it to you the other way. And the Vilna Gaon says that's why the end of Torah, it says that Dar Tapucha Seima, Dar Ikeshuv Salto. It was a backwards generation, a generation of crookedness. And the Targum that translates all the Pesukim says Dara de Kabilu Eraisa. That is the generation that accepted Torah and Hasidah. Zak the Vilna Gaon, it's an insult to Klai Yisrael that they had to get the Torah. You should have understood it on your own.
Yeah,
like your great grandfathers did.
Why do you have a Kabbalah Sotar every day?
Oh, the bottom line is.
You need it.
Yeah. The bottom line is, it's the lifeboat. And it's great and it's awesome and it's wonderful and everything. But the fact that we sank to such a low was a disgrace. That we needed God to tell us, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hey, you couldn't figure that out on your own? Don't believe in Avodah Zarah. Couldn't you figure that out on your own? We sank into Mitzrayim. We couldn't figure it out on our own anymore. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah. So, end result is, Yetzias Mitzrayim was designed to teach us knowledge. An awareness of God, that God exists more than the reality of the world exists. To fix up that tiniest level of lack of knowledge of Avraham Avinu. It came to a point, it wasn't going any further, we sank into imagination. Zechitius Mitzrayim is a central focus in Yiddishkeit to remember that God is here, there, everywhere, and not to make that mistake that the virtual world is real. And well, and theoretically, we understand philosophically there's a God. No. Scientifically. There's a God. I don't understand why this looks like it's here. Which means Hashem, one day maybe we'll get to. But okay. God's the reality of the world. This is virtual. That was the point of Jesus. Sorry.
What was the other question? What did you say? The second question.
The easiest way to tell that this whole world is nothing but virtual is what even science has said time and time again. What we see is a constant reaction of neurons and whatever else it is between our eyes and our brain interpreting it.
So how do we feel?
Same thing. Between what you feel and your interpretation.